Well, turn your Bibles tonight to Psalm 141, and we're going to look at verse 2. We'll read verse 1 just to get into the context here. It's a psalm of David. Not all of them are, but this one is. And then what we're going to do is we're going to keep our Bibles open because we're going to go to some other passages of Scripture tonight that deal with this subject. Psalm 141, verse 2 is the one we want. We're going to start with verse 1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now notice the first part of verse 2, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. We're going to have a word of prayer and go right into the study and ask the Lord to help us. Jerry, will you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. Now, David said, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. All right, then. As incense. So we can see a correlation between burning incense on the altar of incense and prayer. In other words, when you compare prayer to incense, you see some parallels. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at some places where you find the incense and see what God said about the incense, and then we'll be able to draw from what he said about the incense some inferences about prayer. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 30. Let my prayer be set before thee, or set forth before thee as incense. All right, then let's go read about some incense here tonight. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, he begins in verse 1, making the altar to burn incense upon. And when you get down to verse 7, then he begins to tell you about the incense. Aaron shall burn thereon, that is, on that altar of incense. Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. Every morning when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. All right, now notice, first of all, in verse 7, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. All right, so the first thing that's done with incense that we see on the altar of incense is that it's burnt. Well then, if we're making a parallel between the offering of incense and prayer, they are supposed to both, first of all, be burning. They're supposed to both be burning. He said the effectual fervent prayer, the earnest effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'll tell you what happens a lot of times in our prayer is that it loses fervency. Oh, I'm telling you. When the prayer requests started coming in for family, undeniably you're going to have fervency on those. We love our kids. We love our parents. It's like Kim being there now in El Paso with her mom. There's a fervency in those prayers because those things are close to you. You get a job situation and all that, child coming and all. There's a lot of fervency in there. But you know, there are a lot of prayers that we pray about a lot of other things that people have asked us to pray for. And what happens in a period of time, if your life is like mine, they lose their fervency. They're just like, I know I'm supposed to pray, God, I'll get in here and I'll ask you a few things on the behalf of these other people. And when you look up what burning is, and you look up what fervency is, it's burning, it's glowing, it's hot, it's got a warm feeling associated with it, it's earnest. And I'll tell you honestly, when somebody comes to you with a petition and they're like, you know, it really doesn't make any difference to me whether you want to do this or not. I just want to know, you want to go get a Coke? It's kind of like, no, not right now. Oh, okay, I didn't think you wanted to, but I just... And you know, a lot of people approach prayer the same way. It's God, it's whatever you want. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, if it works out, fine. If it doesn't, okay. You know, just let the old lady die. It doesn't make any difference. Somebody here is hot on it, and a lot of times it's easy for us just to become blasé. I think sometimes about these missionary prayer requests. those guys and their wives and their children are over there, and they are seeing all of that stuff firsthand, and they are desperate that God meets the financial need, meets the health need, meets the need of the church. And we're over here, and we go, okay, well, you know, saw that one last week. You know, it gets like that, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. And it's hard to fake it. I mean, you know, okay, today, Lord, we're going to put some fervency into this. I don't know, we get real excited when our children are playing football and they score a touchdown and we get kind of like, ho-hum. And God said, I want those prayers coming up before me as incense. Well, then there's got to be some fire in there. There's some fervency in the prayer. They're supposed to both be burning. Another thing we see in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7 is, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. Well, then they are supposed to both be sweet to God. Sweet incense. These prayers come up before God as incense. We're going to, later on in this little sermon, we're going to be in the book of Revelation, and you're going to see those prayers coming up like that. And I'll tell you what, God, when He talks about the sacrifice on the altar, when He talks about the incense, the Bible says it's a sweet odor to God. Okay? There's a fragrance in that that comes up before the Lord. And you know, what it's like is this. Are there not people that call you sometime during the month that you're really looking forward to speaking to? I mean, when the telephone rings, I mean, sometimes, you know, because we have caller ID and all that, you can sort of take the shock out of the call. But you look like that, and it's a number you don't recognize. How do you answer the telephone? If it's a number that I don't answer, that I don't recognize, I answer the telephone sort of like, why are you calling me? You know, hello? And that way, if they're calling me and they're up to no good and I need to cut them off fast, I can knock that call off. They knew that I didn't want to talk to them when they first called me anyway. But when your child calls you, hello? Is that the way you answer? No, you look over there and go, whoa, wow, it's my kid. Hey, how you doing? Good to... Why? Because there's something sweet in the anticipation of the conversation that you're fixing to have with the person you love. Is that not true? You certainly talk to somebody that you really enjoy talking to, you look forward to talking to, in a certain different way than you do a telemarketer. But I think sometimes, you know, when we approach God with prayer, some of those prayers aren't that sweet. Oh man, this one again? Okay. Turn on the recorder, I'm not listening. When I'm feeling better, I'll come back to it. You can almost see God like that again. This person again. That's supposed to be sweet. In other words, this. God should be looking forward to the time in fellowship with us in prayer. It ought to be sweet. It ought to be sweet. Now, how would you temper prayer with incense? When you're considering it like incense, how would you sweeten up the prayer a little bit? Wouldn't you involve some things like prayer? I mean, like praise? Oh man, talk to God, tell Him how good He is and how much you really enjoy the time with Him and all that stuff before you lay the heavy question on Him like, I need $500 by Friday. They're supposed to be sweet, just like the incense. And honestly, they very well can be. You know something? Truly, when you enjoy fellowship with the Lord God, there's nobody sweeter that you'd rather visit with than Him anyway. You just get drawn so very, very, very close to Him that you become well acquainted. I remember years ago going to preach for a fella in Virginia, and I was right behind a guy that had been there a month before. And he said, let's pray. The preacher said, let's pray before the service, brother. And we went into his office to pray, and he said, I need to tell you, when that other preacher was here, brother, we got down on the floor, and we got ready to pray. Now, this guy has a little melodramatic anyway, okay? We got ready to pray. He said, but I'm telling you, brother, he got quiet, began to groan before he started to pray. And I'm telling you, I just didn't even want to open my eyes for fear I was going to look at God face to face. And I was thinking, man, now how are we going to bring that down with me here? But you know something? You know, there's some people that have that kind of fellowship with God. You don't want to fake it. You don't want to try to pray so you can get a testimony like that. The thing is, the more time you spend with Him, the sweeter it gets. The sweeter He gets. the sweeter you become in his presence. I'll add another thing you notice here. He says in verse 7, Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. Well, then another thing about that, if prayer is like incense, not only should they both be burning, both be sweet to God, but they ought to both be offered every morning and every evening. Now, most of us have a prayer time. And for a lot of us, it's the morning. It depends on your schedule. It may not work out for you that way. But we often start the day with prayer. But when we do, we don't often end the day with prayer, unless it's just, good night, Lord. See you in the morning. A lot of times we end the day with prayer, if that suits your schedule better, but you don't get to start the day with prayer because you kind of have to hit the ground running. And if it's like offering incense, there ought to be a time of prayer in the morning. And there ought to be a time of prayer in the evening. Now, just by way of confession, when I get up in the morning, ideally I like to wake up around 5 o'clock. That gives me ample time to, you know, find the coffee pot. Start reading my Bible and pray enough. I'm supposed to be spiritual here, but all the practical things and be able to enjoy some time with the Lord. But when I get home from here and I've been counseling with people and praying for people and working through sermons and all that kind of stuff, I get home, I'm tired and I want to kind of unplug everything and just gel. But you know what this tells me? The best way for me to end the day is the same way that I started the day, with prayer. A good time of fellowship with God. I wonder, barring the normal physical reasons why we may have a hard time sleeping, sometimes people have sleep apnea and a few other things like that, but putting all that aside, I wonder if our sleep wouldn't be sweeter if we ended the day the same way we start the day. That's the way that the priest did incense. And frankly, if we are offering prayer the same way that the priest offered incense, if we're not offering prayer in the evening, we're not doing our job as priests of God the same way the priest did in the Old Testament. Perhaps we should take counsel from that. I'll tell you another thing that we see here. Look at verse 8. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Well then, they're supposed to both be perpetual. That is, never stop praying. In other words, there's not a day off or a 2 days off or I'm on vacation now, I don't have to pray. Never stop till Jesus comes, perpetually praying. You know, our prayer lives, I say ours, are like roller coasters. We get hot when the need gets high. And we slack off a little bit when things are coasting. We're all like that. He said we want it to be perpetual. It ought to be chugging right up there, peaking all the time. And notice he said, throughout your generations, you ought to teach your children to pray. You ought to be with your children in some time of prayer. The reason being that when you're gone, should Jesus still not have returned, there has to be somebody else in the next generation to carry on with what we were doing in this generation. And they learned that from you. Now, there are a number of things concerning the ministry and a number of things concerning the Bible that you can teach people, but they don't learn nearly as well by being taught as they do. They say this is best caught, not taught. It is best caught, not taught. Meaning, if you pray with your children, they catch on. It's easier for them to continue in what they did with their parents or what they saw their parents do. I was talking to, and I think I mentioned this recently, I'll mention it again just briefly, but I was talking to Joel Dunbar, who is an assistant with Pastor Keck up in Green Bay, and I asked him how come all the kids in the family turned out serving the Lord in the ministry, and he said, God was real to us at home, just like He was at church. Mom was up every morning praying for us and praying and going over that Bible. And he said, there's not a day that I got up as a child. And I walked by her room and there she was in that chair long before we got up. She was the last one down and long before we got up, she's in that chair praying and reading her Bible. And it just stuck. It started something that has become perpetual in the family. So they are supposed to both be perpetual. Look at verse 9. You shall offer no strange incense thereon. So they're supposed to both be according to God's will. That is, he says, no strange incense. With this crowd here, I don't have to spend much time on this with you, but we're to pray to the Father, not to Mary. We're prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in some other name or not without his name. But then he says, no strange fire. We should be praying according to his will. So keep your finger, do you have to keep your finger here? We're gonna come back to Exodus. So keep your finger here and go to 1 John, the Epistle of John, way back in the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5, and just notice this verse again. You've seen it, but maybe it's been a few days or even a few weeks since you last saw this verse. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. It's good for us to remember that both the offering of incense and prayer should be according to God's will. Look at this. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Do you see that? That's some real confidence in prayer right there. But you know why that is? It's because he said, if you pray according to God's will, you know you have his ear, and you know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Because they are according to his will. It's not strange. The Lord should never have to ask when we're praying for something. He should never have to say and ask, that's strange. I wonder why he's asking for that. You see, strange incenses. That's strange. I wonder why he's asking for that. You know, sometimes people do ask for some very strange prayer requests that really have virtually nothing to do with God's will. They have everything to do with their will. And it's just strange. I've heard some of them before. People say, I've been praying for God to do such as. I'm like, really? Okay. I don't know why you'd ask for that. Of course, you know, when you've got somebody like that, you don't really want to make fun of them, particularly if they've been stressing over a certain situation. But I think if you read that Bible, your prayer becomes more aligned with the things of God. And they're not so strange. All right, here's another one. Go back to Exodus chapter, but this time 37. Exodus chapter 37. Prayer. David said, let my prayer be set before thee as incense. So prayer and the offering of incense are very similar. They parallel. They're both supposed to be burning. They're both supposed to be sweet to God, be offered every morning and every evening, be perpetual, be according to God's will. And then this, Exodus chapter 37, verse 29. They should both be pure. Exodus 37, 29 said, and he made the holy anointing oil and the pure incense of sweet spices according to the work of the apothecary. You know, a lot of times what happens, Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. A lot of times what happens when you start to pray, your mind wanders. And when it wanders off, a lot of times it goes into something really it shouldn't be in at all. Not when you're having audience with God. I realize that God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But when you're praying, you're having a conversation with God, expressing things from the heart. And you know, our prayer should never be with wandering thoughts. Although our mind is prone to wander. And certainly our prayer should never be with impure or filthy thoughts. But sometimes, as Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so what you want to do is you want to think in terms of this. I am in the presence of God Almighty, and I have come as a sinner. If praise makes the prayer sweet, then confession makes the prayer pure. It just brings you into a right relationship with the Lord where you acknowledge, as Victor said, you know, I'm not worthy to be here, Lord, but now that I'm here, you see the bad side, but you see the goodness of God and the willingness of God to impart those things to you. It's an amazing thing when we come and we're bathed in or purged in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I tell you, if I pray quietly, my mind has a tendency to wander more than if I pray verbally. There's something about speaking the prayer that helps keep you on track and keeps the fervency. So I would say to you, if you're prone to prayer, pray quietly, and you're also prone to have a wandering mind when you do, why don't you pray out loud to the Lord and see if that doesn't help you some to stay on track. And then notice this. Go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 8. At Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, we find this. Again, incense connected with prayer. Incense connected with prayer. Revelation chapter 8, look at verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Notice what he said then in verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him what? Much incense. We've seen sweet incense and burn incense, and we've seen perpetual incense, and we've seen pure incense, and now we see much incense. So prayer and the burning of incense should both be plentiful. Should both be plentiful. We sung tonight, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. You know, sometimes we look at the way the Pharisees pray, and I think what the Lord said about them was something like they think they'd be heard for their much speaking. It's not just throwing a bunch of stuff up in the air so you can say, I prayed a long time. Or not to give yourself this feeling that, oh, okay, I've been here 15 minutes, so because I've been here 15 minutes, I realize now God's more inclined to hear me because I made a big point out of this. There are times when you just need to get to God and sometimes save me. That's what Peter said, is all you need to say. But you know what I see here is, it's not trifling prayer, but much prayer. By that, listen. Listen. You may never be given the opportunity to preach a sermon. You may never be given the opportunity to teach a Sunday school class. You may have the opportunity to witness from time to time, but you may never have the opportunity to see the persons that you've been witnessing to actually bow before the Lord and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. There are a lot of seed sowers. Bob DeMars, who's gone to be with the Lord now, came to me one time and he said mournfully, he said, Brother Welder, I have sown and sown and sown and sown that seed, but I've never had the opportunity to see a person confess Jesus Christ before me and get saved. He did before he passed away, but he mourned at that. But you know what? He stayed faithful to keep sowing the seed of the Word of God. I mean, as much as he could, he put it out. He was earnest about that. But I'm going to tell you something. You may not have the opportunity to do all the things that sometimes you look at and say, boy, I wish I could do that. But I'm not so sure that doing business with God in prayer is more important than all those things. When you look through that Bible and you see the great things that happened in the lives of men and countries in the Bible, a lot of that stuff was on the heels of a man that got a hold of God, or a woman that got a hold of God. I'm not so sure that our greatest work isn't done on our knees. I certainly know for myself, whenever I have the opportunity to preach, if there's preparation in prayer, there's power in preaching. And if there's not, then that power is not there. And that's not because of the person praying. I think it has to do with the time in prayer. Much incense. Don't we spend a lot of time doing a lot of other things? You know, if I look at the efficiency of my day and I say, oh, okay, we spent all this time doing this, I realize that we put in a lot of time. And I'm not, don't go home at night and say, man, I should have done more. Don't try to beat myself up. I've done that. I think sometimes those gaps can be best filled in with time in prayer. Daniel, lead president of all the presidents and over all those provinces, made sure three times a day to take it up with the Lord. David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray, cry aloud. There's something to that. That time in prayer, much incense. There's something to it. And I'll tell you honestly, if you look in your own life and you say, you know, oh, I just wish this stuff would work out a little bit better. Take more time in prayer and see if maybe that doesn't make a difference. You say, well, how will I know if I've spent enough time in prayer? You know, when it comes to things that you are praying, that you are burning about in prayer, I'll tell you what happens. There comes a time in prayer, you see it in the Bible, where you know you have had the audience with God and you know that your petition will be answered. Hannah knew that. She stayed with God in prayer time and time again when they came with Elkanah. She stayed with it, and then Eli said, this time next year, it's done. And she knew that she had gotten her prayer answered. In Genesis chapter 18, from verse 23 to 33, Abraham is talking to God. And he stays with that prayer for Lot until he knows that he's prayed it, what they used to say, through and gotten a hold of God on behalf of Lot and his family to get them out of Sodom and Gomorrah alive. Well, basically, he wasn't praying to get them out alive. What he was praying for is that Sodom and Gomorrah would be spared for 10 righteous people. All right, well, as it turns out, there weren't 10 righteous people there, but Abraham's petition on behalf of his family was answered. Those angels held off destroying that until sunrise, giving Lot every opportunity to get his family out of town. And Lot came out, his wife turned back, he came out with two of his daughters. And it came out with his life. And Abraham got his prayer answered. So that much prayer, that prayer should be plentiful, is a matter of staying with something in prayer long enough until you know you have gotten the petition through to God. And sometimes that's years and years of staying with it. Sometimes it's days and days. Let me give a couple of examples, and then we're going to look at this passage you're in for our conclusion. Years ago, a very serious infraction happened with a saint in church. I mean, it was bad. It stirred up the crowd. People were talking about it. The preacher hadn't acted on it yet. I know he was praying. Several of us got praying. And one day he called me and came to see me to discuss the matter. And he said, well, I guess you know what's going on. I said, well, I've heard. I don't know because it's rumor. He said, well, what you've heard is true and probably then some. And he said, I really don't know what to do. I gave him a little word of advice. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And so it turns out that I had a meeting to preach, and so I left to go preach. And the situation at the meeting was not good. There were a lot of carnal preparations, but there were few spiritual preparations. And the Lord impressed upon me to fast and pray. And I did. And during that period of time for Monday through Wednesday, spent a lot of time in prayer with the Lord, a lot of time preparing and so forth like that. I would say about 4 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, there was a peace that settled over me. That, like the Bible says, passeth all understanding. And it was that calm assurance. It was an inaudible sense that God said, I got it. This is done. And I left off praying about it. Didn't bother with it another time. Saturday, I got a telephone call. So actually, Sunday morning, I got a telephone call from that fellow, and he was in tears. And he said, well, God's gotten a hold of me. And wanted the telephone number of another person to call to get some things straightened out. Long story short, God answered that prayer. Now, please understand something. I wasn't the only one praying, and I'm not the hero of this story. The point of that illustration is, there was a peace of God that settled in when the plentiful prayers had been answered. I remember years ago, a little girl had a father who had a sin that he would not stop. And she became very concerned about it. I heard, but I don't remember how I heard, she didn't tell me herself, but I heard from somebody that she did confide in, perhaps her mother, every Thursday she committed to fast and pray for her father. And she did that for 2 years. Every Thursday, she fasted and prayed for her father. And 2 years later, God got a hold of his heart and broke him. I don't mean financially. I mean of that sin. And he let that thing go, and she got through. Now, you know what that is? That's the culmination of all of this. It's perpetual. It's according to God's will. It's fervent and burning. It's sweet. Can you imagine God every Thursday knowing that little girl was going to come before his throne and pray for her dad? At some point, that had to bring a response from God. You say, well, why didn't God just answer it the first week? He was setting him up. He was setting up the man until just that right set of circumstances where God could catch him at a time when he knew he could break him. And he didn't answer. I believe he was answering that prayer from the first time it came up. But every morning and every evening, you know, every Thursday, according to God's will, purely, innocently, coming on behalf of her dad. And that thing broke. Let me tell you something. You look around here, you think, boy, I wish we'd see more souls saved on Sunday morning. You're going to have to pray. Boy, I wish we'd see our kids grow up and not leave when they're 17, 18 years old. You're going to have to get a hold of God. Boy, I wish that our lives would be more spiritual and be closer to God. We're going to have to talk to God about that. I wish that whatever it is you see, whatever it is that you're aware of, that you would pray and ask God to do. I wish we could support more missionaries or do more for those that have special, or whatever that case may be. I wish those orphans that we've been taking care of over there across the sea, this is being recorded, would get saved. So many of them were helped from the time they were 6 years old. They're 18 years old. They're off the program now. Still not saved. I believe it's God's will that they be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Maybe then what the problem is, we've been faithful to give the check, but not faithful to give the prayers. I don't believe we understand the great power available to us in prayer. But I believe God knows. Look what happened here in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 8, and we'll close with this. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, watch it, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I believe that prayer that is prayed like the offering of incense, that's burning, that's sweet, that's offered every morning and evening, that's perpetual, that's according to God's will, that's pure and plentiful, comes up before God. I think it comes up before God where He can't avoid it, because like incense, it just clouds the room. And would to God on Wednesday night when we come together to pray, this group of saints offering prayer, already familiar with that practice at home on a regular basis, already familiar with the sweet fellowship of the Lord God in praying like this, just one of those saints, God's thinking, whoops, Wednesday night, we're all looking forward to being here, and God's up there saying, I'm looking forward to this cloud of incense that's going to rise before my throne tonight. I believe therein lies the secret of the power of persuasive preaching and persuasive witnessing, and effect on our children, and effect on our families, and effect on our lives, and effect on our ministry, effect in our pulpit, effect in our pew. It's prayer. Prayer that is offered as incense. That's what gets through to God. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunity to see from the Scripture as clearly as if it were written to us in a letter addressed to our home. Father, we thank You. And we ask You now. We've been given a gift here tonight, Father, from the Scripture. We ask You to be faithful to do with it what You've shown us to do in the Scripture. And that, Father, we know that the Spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. May we be faithful to pray in the Spirit of God, that though our flesh may rebel and squirm and murmur against us, we go into this great powerful occupation in prayer. If we ask You to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.